Well, hey, Jubilee, we are so incredibly grateful for you and for you guys choosing us. We were portable for 8.5 years, so we're 11 years old as a church, and we are just forever grateful that you chose us to take over your legacy property. We just got to say thank you so much.
This means a lot to our family, to Thrive Church. So we get the honor to just take a moment and thank you. And you might not know all that you were a part of. You might not have been in the meetings or in the rooms or the spaces, but you're a part of this local body, which means you are a part of what God did. And, you know, we were here last night with our two sons, and my 13-year-old said to me when we left the service last night, he said, "Mom, this feels like home here."
Yeah.
I said, "That's the kingdom of God."
Yeah.
That's what happens. And we're just so grateful that we get to be a part of what God is doing in the church as a whole in the city. And we're forever grateful and marked by your faithfulness and your generosity to say yes to Thrive, because it's been game changing.
It has been so game changing.
Yes.
And I can remember it was in 2019. It felt like the Lord said, now is the time to pursue a permanent facility. And, you know, it's funny, people would come up to us when we were portable and they'd say, "Have you ever thought about a building?" And I'm like, "Yes, every day, every day." But 2019 in January, I felt like the Lord says now is the time. And what's so amazing about this story is the Lord was speaking to Pastor John that same phrase, that same month, that same year. And so we began a journey. We started a capital campaign on March 1st of 2020. 2 weeks later, COVID shut the world down. But God was moving, and he was orchestrating something that we could never even know. And we caught wind that you guys might be interested in selling your building because you're looking to expand. And I emailed Pastor John like the next day, just real quick. We went back and forth and we met. He gave me a tour of the facility, and I can remember we met with our financial institutions and those things and got that all lined up. And it was a week later and we had a meeting. Hannah, will you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'll never forget that meeting. You know, you have these moments in your life where you know they're God moments, you know they're important, you go prayed up, but sometimes they're really marking moments in your walk with God. And this meeting was one of those marking moments for us, for our family, and for Thrive Church. And we were driving to meet your pastors, and we knew this had a huge emphasis on the business side of it. Could Thrive even afford this? Could we show up? Pastor John wanted to believe in us, but we also need to pay for this building.
Yeah.
Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
And so we needed to show up and have everything ready. And we were prepared, but my husband and I had such a desire that it would even be more than just a meeting, that God would show up. And so as we sat in the room, my husband immediately told your pastor, "Hey, we are fully ready to present everything to you. But before we go through those details, can we just tell you a little bit about our story?" And we began to talk to your pastors about really God's journey on our life long before Thrive, long before Denver. We parachuted in here 11 years ago, started the church in our Highlands Ranch rental home, which is actually about 6 minutes from the Lone Tree building. Who would have known?
Yeah.
But before that, we worked for my father, where my mom and my dad have pastored just outside of Detroit, Michigan for almost 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
40 years, and we worked with them. And so Jake and I just began to tell our story, and we would talk about specific dates in our walk with God, and dates on a calendar, verses, moments, people we had talked to and encountered throughout the journey. And you watched your pastors really take note of certain things we were saying. Before I knew it, Pastor John grabbed his bride's hand and tears were there in their eyes. And there'd be moments where they'd look at each other and just smile. And all of a sudden you had a realization that God had been aligning stories.
Yeah.
One thing I love about the purposes of God is that they're always bigger than us. You know, we say yes to God and we obey him and we're faithful, and sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's easy. But what's amazing is the purposes of God and the will of God and the plans of God are always kingdom sized. And they're so much bigger than us. And you felt that happening in that room, and really that office became a holy moment. You just felt the presence of God. Even our realtor, I think he was crying. He's sitting in the office with tears just streaming down his face. And all of a sudden, Pastor John throws his hands up in the air and he says, "That's it. I've heard enough. I thought, oh Lord, what did we say? What was wrong?" And he says, "I perceive God is in this." and we just prayed together. Now, that was a moment that took place with the four of us, but so many more of you in this room and online were a part of the journey of that, from board members to church to team to having faith with your pastors, and we just want to say thank you. Yeah. Thank you from the bottom of our heart for joining your pastors and standing with them. And, you know, I'm a pastor's kid. Last thing I'll say, being a pastor's kid, you get a front row seat to a lot of the good and some of the challenging in the local church. And one thing that has been so meaningful to me, to our family, and for our three children is they got to see two pastors champion the purpose of God in each other and the purpose of God in the big church and the purposes of God in a city. And what has been so thrilling for us is that Jubilee got to advance and go forward while Thrive got to be established. That sounds like a God plan.
Come on.
That sounds like a God plan. So we just love you. We honor your pastors, honor this house, and it truly does feel like home. Feels like home.
I can remember when we got the keys to the building and Jubilee, you guys had moved out. Our family, we just came right in the doors, went right in the auditorium of the Lone Tree building. We were mid-stage and we just got in a circle and we hit our knees to thank the Lord, and I wept. Yes. I wept, like uncontrollably wept. And we're just so grateful. We're so thankful. We're so thankful for Pastor John and Pastor Chris and all of you for entrusting us that property. And we're going to do our best to carry that baton and just minister the gospel there. And we're partners, right?
Yes.
We're connected in kingdom. And until I go to my grave, I won't be grateful for Jubilee. I'm telling you. So we're so thankful.
All right, well, who's ready for the word of God today? Y'all ready for God's word? It's going to be a great day. I'm going to pray over the word, and Jacob's going to bring it. Lord, we just love you today. We thank you, God, for who you are. Father, we thank you for this day where we get to be a part of something so much bigger than ourselves this morning. God, we're a part of a kingdom work, and Lord, we thank you that your church is your bride, and God, that you are doing amazing things with her, God. And Lord, let's pray over the word today that it will be life, that it will send our hearts from full to overflowing, and that every person will leave the house and online this morning with a word from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, do you ever get nervous when your doorbell rings? Anybody out there, your doorbell rings, you didn't expect anybody to show up? Is that just me? Well, I can remember growing up when the doorbell rang, I was so excited. Like, who's here? This is amazing. My two youngest are that way now. And so the doorbell rings and they usually sprint to the door. And they just take off and sprint. And it was a few months ago, and the doorbell rang, and the boys literally took off, I mean, a full sprint, and they started to fight on who was going to open the door. And now they're, like, pushing each other down, and they're, like, you know, it's like a WWE wrestling thing on the other side of the door, but it's getting so intense that I had to get involved. So now I go to the door, and I'm yelling at my boys who are fighting and yelling when somebody might be on the other side of the door. And I'm like, dear Lord, please let it be an Amazon delivery person who left a package and is long gone. It's not what happened. It was the neighbor. And we opened the door and he's like, just want to let you know your car's still running. And I just wanted to say, we're not crazy. I mean... maybe a little crazy, just not really, really crazy. Not crazy, crazy. But sometimes we can be a little triggered by what's on the other side of the door. We don't know. What are they trying to sell us something? What's going on? And I can think of some times where there's been some things on other sides of doors. I remember Hannah was running the Chicago Marathon, and I was there to cheer her on and eat my way through the city while she was running. And I mean, somebody had to do it. But anyways, we were in our 20s and I thought, you know, I want to be fiscally responsible. And so, babe, I love you so much that I'm going to get us the cheapest hotel in all of Chicago. And so we get there. And by the way, my in-laws were also running that marathon, and they did not stay at the hotel we chose. But anyways, I remember opening the door to this place, and it looked a little bit like this right here. Have you ever stayed in a place like this right here? And I remember we walked in and just the bed, there was like a bed and a table and the bedspread was just, and everything was dirty. And Hannah was like, babe, don't ever take me to a place like this again. You open it up, there's, you don't know what's going to be on the other side of the door, but I've gotten to stay a couple times at a better hotel. And there's been times I've stayed at a place that looks a little something like this. Come on, somebody. The Ritz-Carlton's not too bad. So it's a little bit better door to open, I would say. But maybe you're taking your true love out on a date. And so you take her to a restaurant, maybe you've never been before, and you open up the door. You don't know exactly what you're going to get, but maybe you take him to a place like this right here. And, you know, this isn't bad. I mean, it's actually Waffle House. And, it's all good. Waffle House is good. If you work there, it's great. You know, if the W on the sign comes off, now it's not Waffle House, it's Awful House. But if you're really going to take your bride out, you want to take her to, you want to open the door to something else, I'd say, and something like this right here. I think that's Ocean's Prime. Come on, somebody. God is good. Open the door to something good. But what about the online dating people? Maybe there's some people that have been on Christian Mingle. I don't know what all the dating sites are, but you know, the profile picture, you're talking to them on the phone, and you're opening the door to the place you're meeting, and you don't really know. And so maybe there's some ladies here that have done that before. You saw the profile pic, but it was the moment that you're opening the door to meet them for the first time, and you open the door to something like this. Now, a great guy, super cool, but maybe not exactly what you had thought it was going to be. But ladies, maybe you prayed, like you fasted. The church is going through 21 days of prayer and fasting, and you like cut all the stuff, and you prayed really hard, and this man of God shows up right here. He says, hey, where's the Bible study? And all the ladies said, God, you answer my prayers. But I don't want to leave the guys out. Maybe there's some guys in here and you've done the dating sites as well. And, you know, you show up, you open the door. I don't know what's going to be on the other side of this door. And somebody like this shows up right here. I got to shut that. That's creepy. But again, you fast, you pray. And somebody like this shows up. Amen. Babe, you're gorgeous. You're gorgeous. Well, it's such an honor to be here and to be in this series. I want to talk to you about the door in your destiny. We're in a series of the I Am statements of Jesus, and Pastor John preached from John chapter 10. We're actually going to go back to the same chapter, hit a few verses before some of the verses that he shared, and we're going to touch on some that he shared as well. Today, we're talking about where Jesus says, I am the open door. John chapter 10, verse 7, it says this, and Jesus said to them, again, most surely I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. And I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and we will go in and out and find pasture. Number one, we're talking about the door, and your destiny is keep pursuing doors connected to your destiny. You got to keep pursuing doors connected to your destiny, and maybe you've opened doors, and what you've seen on the other side of the door is something maybe that you weren't excited about. So you're a little apprehensive to even go to the door anymore. And I can remember one time the doorbell rang and it was somebody selling something. Has that ever happened to you? People selling something. And this guy comes to the door and he is selling bug spray around the house. And you know, I'm trying to be as polite as I possibly can. You know, they just get right into it and he's telling me these things and I'm listening. And I was doing everything within my power to say to him, I'm not interested. You know what I'm talking about? Man, I even complimented him on his sales skills. I'm like, you're good at what you do, but you know what? I'm just not interested. Like, no. And anyways, the conversation turned, and then he started to get an attitude and started to like, he started to be rude to me. And I'm thinking, bro, you came to my house, my door, interrupted my day, and now you're giving me attitude? I can remember one time, our first house, somebody came to the door. They were trying to sell something, and I guess we, you know, looked young, whatever. But anyways, they came to the door, and he opened it. He didn't know who we were, and he's like, is your mom and dad here? I'm like, I'm the homeowner, thank you. But maybe you've opened some doors, and you've gotten hurt. You've gone to the door, and it wasn't what you expected. You've gotten burned. And here's what I know is that God has a divine door for you in 24. He's got incredible plans for you in 24. He's got amazing things for you. But what I want you to know is you got to keep pursuing doors connected to your destiny. Because the danger is we can stop walking towards doors. We've tried that before. I've tried to love before. I've tried to forgive before. I've tried to start a business before. I've tried to, and you can fill in the blank, you've opened a door and the enemy wants us to stop getting off the couch and going to the doors. Sometimes you think it just be the doorbell's ringing, somebody's on the other side of the door, and you've like thought, well, maybe nobody's home. You know what I'm saying? Like, babe, just be quiet. Let's just stay in our jammies. Let's not go to the door. But I want you to know, when it comes to your life, God has opened doors, but the enemy doesn't even want you to pursue the doors. It's like, stay away from the door. Jesus says, I am the door, and the enemy wants to keep you on the couch. And I can remember there was some people at our church who said, I'm leaving something at your door. And they said, there's something at your door. And I'm like, man, I don't know what's at the door. What's it gonna be? And I opened the door, and there was an incredible meal at the door, and there was stacks and stacks of ribs. And I was like, are you trying to feed the church? There's only five in our family. There was containers and just stacks and stacks of ribs. It was amazing. They had like salad, ribs, a really nice handwritten note. There was a gift card to our favorite restaurant. And I'm thinking, man, this is amazing. This is so kind. I cannot believe they did this. This is so amazing. But I just wonder, how many times do we stop going to doors because of past pain, past experiences? We tried that before, and we stop going towards doors. And it's almost like we may be letting God's blessings rot on the other side of the door. Like God said, I have something for you. I have a blessing for you. And he says, I want you to trust me. I want you to go to the door. And I want you to open the door, and I believe that God is calling us not to let the blessings of God rot on the other side of a door. Yes. See, we've got to be willing, if we're going to grab a hold of this idea, the door in your destiny, we have to keep pursuing the doors connected to our destiny. Check this out. Verse 9 again, it says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You're going to find open space. God's got incredible open doors for you in 24. And I believe that God wants to open some incredible things for you in 24. I believe there's incredible connections for you when you open the door, when you pursue the doors in 24. There's going to be peace over anxiety. He wants you to open that door this year. I know that you've got some things going on and there's been some fear gripping your life, but he's saying, I've got peace over anxiety. I've got restored relationships for you. I've got supernatural wisdom. How many think that'd be good in the business world, in our life? Supernatural wisdom. I want to open that door. Breakthrough in your business. Joy in the journey. How many think that's a good idea? But the enemy wants to keep you on the couch. Stop pursuing the doors. Just stay where you are. And God has said, I want you to keep pursuing the door. I want you to keep chasing after me. I love what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. He says, keep on asking and you're going to receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you're going to find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Let's go on to verse 10. It says this, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. The context is the door. Jesus is the door. And so number two, we have to have the bravery to shut the wrong door. You know, not every open door in your life is a God door. You know that, right? Yeah. Not everybody you could date is a person you should date. Not every person you could marry is somebody you should marry. Hello, somebody. And what happens is we may have some open doors in our life and we're keeping doors open to some things that might actually hurt us in the end. So this is a lot of times what it looks like when we open the door to the wrong thing. This is what it looks like in the beginning. All right, here it is. So like a little lion cub. It's cute, right? Who wouldn't want to hold a baby lion cub? I mean, this is amazing. Everybody say aw. So here we go. But this is honestly a lot of times how it begins right here. It's not that bad. Like I'm not sinning as bad as my best friend or my friend or somebody I know, or, you know, I'm not that addicted, or I'm not, you know, whatever the story may be. And it's almost like we're holding this lion and this is the best time that you need to shut the door on certain things in your life. Because right here. If there's any teenagers in the room, this is the time you need to be shutting the door to certain friends, certain influences. And they're like, they're not that bad. Sometimes they're really cool. And yes, I know they do some of those things, but they're not. I mean, there's a side to them that's pretty good. But this is the moment, church, that we got to shut the door. Because listen, this baby cub, although it's cute, it's not going to stay cute for very long. This thing's going to grow up. It's gonna grow up and it's gonna bite you. It's gonna kill you. And we've gotta shut the door. We've gotta shut the door. We have to have the bravery to shut some doors in our life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And I think the enemy can actually destroy your life when you walk through the wrong door. The person that you need to maybe distance yourself from. The person you could date, a job offer. Again, just because it's a open door doesn't mean it's a divine door. And so I'm encouraging you to close the door. Close the door on the wrong things. Anything that's not God's best, we need to close the door on. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, not just that it's okay. Listen, I don't want to live in the realm of okay. I want to live in the realm of God's absolute best. And so if we're going to actually grab God's best, we're going to have to close some doors that aren't God's best. And so I want to encourage you to close the door. This is something you just need to get out of your life. Get behind me, Satan. We need to get this out of our life. Verse 11, this is where Pastor John talked about this last week. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. And what I want you to know is that the enemy wants to scatter you from the places God has planted you. And so the enemy wants to do anything he can to scatter you. You know, if you think about, you ever watch The Animal Planet and you watch like this herd, the power in the herd is the unity, right? And so when they stay together, they're usually pretty good. There's always these like little lions or, you know, whatever, hyenas, and they're just kind of like on the outskirts and they're looking for that one person, that one little animal that just says, I'm gonna do this my own way. I'm going to separate from the place God has tried to plant me. He's planted you here in this amazing house with these amazing pastors and amazing staff and unbelievable worship, an incredible place. This house is unbelievable. And I know that the enemy wants to scatter you from the place God has planted you. And I want to tell you this, you need to shut the door on that. You need to shut the door on that because the enemy's going to try to come in the form of offense. He's going to try to get you offended in any way he can. That group leader didn't call me back. That greeter didn't high-five me the same way he did last week. Last week it was up high. This week he was just kind of down low. I don't know. I'm mad. Pastor didn't, you know, preach this certain message, or, you know, he preached a message and it kind of ruffled my feathers. Sometimes we need our feathers ruffled. Amen. That's the power of a local church. Sometimes you need certain perspectives in your life. And the enemy is going to try to use offense. And it's almost like, well, we separate ourselves. We got offended and we pull ourselves out. And I want to tell you, don't let the enemy scatter you from the place God wants to plant you. Don't get offended. I can remember working for my father-in-law. So I was a youth pastor for 10 years, worked for my father-in-law. And he was my father-in-law, my boss, and my pastor. It's like the holy power of Trinity. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, if we had anything between us, it was like, okay, who am I mad at? Am I mad at my father-in-law? Am I mad at my pastor? Am I mad at my boss? I'm mad at all of them. And, but I remember there was a time where, you know, we had a little conflict, and it was actually a moment. Hannah, you were still a little mad. And I remember I'm calling you out. I shouldn't do that. You're sweet as pie. I don't know why I'm doing this. But anyways, we kind of ran into something, and I remember thinking, Hannah, we have 24 hours to get over this. And beyond 24 hours, it's between us and the Lord. Because if we're going to be in this house, we got to get over this now. Yeah. Now. Like, it has to be quick. And see, the enemy just wants to come in, and it's like a little cub. It's not a big deal. It's a little offense. It's just this little thing. Don't hold it. It's going to grow up. Do we need to go over this again? It's going to bite you. It's going to take you out. And the enemy wants to, he wants to separate. He wants to get you to drift from the heart of the church. I love this Psalms 133. This is so powerful. It says this, behold, how good is it, Jubilee? How good and pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity? It's like the precious oil upon the head. What it's saying is when you're in unity, God's anointing shows up. I don't know if you want to be in a church where God's presence shows up and his power shows up like it does here, hello. But I'm telling you, when there's unity, there's incredible anointing. And watch this, for there the Lord commands the blessing. I want to say this. Jesus is lifted the highest in a city when the church is most united in purpose. And I just want to encourage you. This is from one pastor saying this to another. I'm like, man, I'm on your team. I'm on your side. And I've seen this happen so many times. I want to encourage you, shut the door to anything that the enemy is trying to scatter this flock from and get you on the outskirts. You need to shut the door. Because when you're planted, when you're rooted, I'm telling you, it's going to produce incredible fruit. You got to fight to shut the door on the drifting from the family of God, from the small sins, from the fear, from the anxiety. Shut the wrong door. Have the bravery to shut the wrong door. Okay, one more thought. Is that okay? All right, here we go. The door and your destiny, number three, is you have to open the door. You gotta open the door. And I gotta say this, Jubilee, when you chose Thrive, you opened a door for us. You opened a door for us. And I'm telling you, it has been so amazing. And God has been moving. And I gotta show you this. This is gonna be the best one, okay? This is the best one. Are you guys ready for this? This is the best one. Here it is, right here. Since we moved in to the building that you chose us for, we've seen 5,377 people give their life to Christ. Come on, Jubilee. Whoa. 1,581 adults. This is 647 teenagers. I think this is October 3rd, 2021. And 3,149 kids. And you know they're raising their hand multiple times. Johnny's raised his hand, but if he raises his hand, we counting it, okay? But we're so grateful. You opened a door of impact for us. And I want you to know, and you know this, but it's in the DNA of this church to open doors of purpose, to open doors of impact. This is who you are. This is the DNA of this church, to open doors of impact here in this city, to open doors of impact in this nation, to open doors around the world. I'm always just so inspired by all the trips that you do and the mission trips, the impact around the world, all the people you support. But I want to say this, Jubilee, there's more doors for you to open. There's more people for you to reach. In a 10-mile radius, there's 107,000 kids in school, K through 12 in a 10-mile radius. Listen, I came from a small town in Michigan. There wasn't 107,000 people in my town. Not even close. But there's 107,000 kids, teenagers, right in a 10-mile radius. There's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of things to go after here. And you may say, okay, I want to be a door opener. This is the DNA of this church, but what can I personally do to open doors? I want you to know that God has called you personally to open a door, not just to be a part of a church that has a DNA of opening doors, but God has called you to open doors. He's called you to open doors. How do you open doors? Well, I think one thing that we can focus on right now is to get people in this room 2 weeks from now. It's Easter. This is a way that you can open a door of impact for people. You know, listen to this. Possibly one of the most impactful things you could do is invite someone to church. Just get them in the room. When you get them in the room, I would say this, the more people hear about God, the more likely they are to follow God, right? Hello? Because when they get around Jesus, when they get around your pastors, when they get around this worship, it's over. It's over. Meaning actually it's just beginning their relationship with God. But I want to encourage you, what can you do? Maybe the Lord's even, if you said, God, who's two or three people that I could invite to pack this room out in these three services? But I want you to know it's not just a corporate thing to open doors, but there's a personal opportunity for you to open doors so you can bring. Another one is to serve. And I want to encourage some of you, maybe you've been kind of in your heart stirring, I want to get involved. You know what Jesus says in Luke chapter 10, he says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest to send more workers into the field. And so some of you may be prompted to get on a team, to start serving. And when you walk around and you see all these incredible people, it's amazing when you join a team. It's like it's you're linking arms with others. You're in the trenches together. It's one of the most amazing things. And I want to encourage you, what you can do to open doors, you can bring, you can serve. And I think another thing we can all do that Pastor JJ was talking about earlier is you can give as well. And you know, one thing I think about giving can accelerate life change. And so a lot of times people will think about, you know, philanthropy and I want to be generous. And sometimes I want to say, okay, but does it have, everybody hears about a ROI, return on investment, but does it have an EROI, an eternal return on investment? And I want you to know when you plant financial seeds in this ministry, you have an eternal return on investment. Come on, somebody. And you're adding to life change yourself. And these are things you can do to open doors. You can bring, you can serve, you can give. And I want to encourage you to open doors for people to be impacted. But we're talking about the door. So we got to keep pursuing doors. We got to close the wrong doors. And we need to open doors. And maybe for some in the room, the door is an invitation to a new relationship with God. Or maybe you've drifted from a relationship with God and the door, Jesus says, I am the door. That's right. And so for some of you, the door represents an invitation. And, you know, when I think about people who a lot of times people in America, they will get close to the door. But when you read this story in John chapter 10, it's not just that he wants you to be outside the fence or close to the door. He wants you to be in the sheepfold. He wants you to be in his protection. And so many times people in America, they will, you know, get close to God. I've heard the story. I've been to church before. And I just want to encourage you, don't just stand by the door. You got to come through the door. It's when you come through the door that you, that I believe that your faith really comes alive. I think a lot of times people are like, well, I tried faith before. And what they did is they just stood around the door. But I'm telling you, impact in your life, thriving in your walk with God doesn't happen near the door. It happens when you come in the door. It's when you're in the family of God. It's when you go all in. And I just want to say to you, you don't belong outside the door. You belong in the room. You belong in the house of God. I love what it says in verse 15. It says, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus paid a price for you to be in relationship. And Jubilee, I want to encourage you, don't just stand outside the door. It's time to come through the door. Jesus, he is the door. He is the door. And not only is Jesus the door, but I want to read one more scripture in Revelation. Let's check this out. Revelation, I believe it's chapter 3. And so not only is Jesus the door, but look what it says in Revelation chapter 3. It says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. And I want you to know, not only is Jesus the door, but he's standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking. It's almost like you can hear Jesus knocking. But it's not a knocking of like condemnation or some religious thing. Look at what it says. It says, if you hear my voice and you open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together. That's amazing. God wants personal relationship with you. He wants connection with you. He wants to be family, spiritual family with you. And there's the call not just to stand outside the door, but you need to come through the door. You need to allow God to be not just a thing in your life, but he needs to be the main thing in your life. That's the moment when your faith really comes to life. That's the moment when God really starts to do great things in your life. And then it says this, Revelation 4:1. Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven. And I want you to know, the door is open for you. The door is open for you. The door is open for you. Do you receive that? The door is open for you. And listen, I think a lot of times we were worshiping and I just had this in my heart, and we're going to close, but that Jesus is the door you've been looking for. That was in my heart. It's not just, so a lot of times we're looking up for the door of a job, or we're looking for the door of finances, or we're looking for the door of whatever the thing is, and we're chasing this and we're chasing that, and we're looking for doors. And we're trying to find the door. And I was just in my spirit to say, the door that you've been looking for is Jesus. He is the door. When you walk through this door, it changes everything. Church, would you bow your head and close your eyes? And I just want to give somebody here an opportunity to really walk through the door. And maybe there's some in this room and you've been around the door. You've been in church. You maybe grew up with a praying grandma and you've heard the stories and these things. Maybe you were like, it's been a while. Maybe you're far from God right now. And I want to call you home on behalf of the heart of God. I want to ask you, would you walk through the door today? It's a door of family. It's a door of spiritual purpose. It's a door of relationship with God. But if there's anybody here and you'd say, man, I don't know if I'm right with God today, but I want to make sure that I'm right with God today. If that's you, I don't care how long you've been here or how many times you've been in this room. If you want to get right with God today and you want to walk through that door, would you just raise your hand right now? Thank you. 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 Wow. Thank you. Amen. Come on. That's amazing. Come on, church, put your hands. Thank you. Come on. Wow. Wow. So proud of you. I want you to know that all of heaven is rejoicing when even one person is walking through that door. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And I just want to lead you in a prayer where you can do that. I'm going to confess with my mouth, believe in my heart, and listen, this is the beginning of a relationship. It's the beginning of following God. It's the beginning of walking in spiritual family. Church, would you pray this prayer out loud right now with me? Let's pray it together. Dear Jesus, I give you my life. I'm trusting you with my life right now. I'm coming home to spiritual family. I believe you died on the cross and you rose again to forgive me of my sins. And I want to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, Jubilee.